play. Okay, here we go. So this is our first time ever. We are bringing someone in on Skype from around the world in Tbilisi, Georgia. Can you hear us, Rachel?
Good morning.
There she is. All right. So now we've got confirmation. And Rachel, I'll let you explain where you are, and I'm going to turn T-Pair over to over the microphone.
All right. Wonderful. We arrived in Tbilisi, Georgia last month. It's not near Atlanta. There's an 11-hour time difference between us right now. We're not far from Russia, the Black Sea.
What's the name of the neighboring country? Azerbaijan?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we've been talking the first half hour of the program this morning on local shopping, and I thought maybe you could bring a whole new dimension of local shopping in Tbilisi.
Oh, my word. So it was Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, Phoenix. We had to prepare a meal here, and so I tried to put together something that wasn't Cajun, wasn't too American, would be easy to find, use pomegranates, use barley, you know. But it took days. It took days to find celery and barley and a few ingredients to put together. I found a store that has an entire aisle, I mean a Walmart-sized aisle of only Nutella.
Just one whole aisle of it. Like, is it all like one flavor, or is it the multiple flavors of Nutella?
I think maybe there's three flavors, different company brands, but mostly just hazelnut spread. It's wonderful. It's, you know, it's not a bad thing.
Well, Rachel, I thought one of the funnier things that we've talked about since you've arrived in Tbilisi is just the commuting stories you've told while waiting for the army to get you your car there. Share with our listeners what the commuting is like in Tbilisi.
Well, on the recommendation of friends here, we hired a driver. Don't drive yourself the first month. There are lines on their pavement, just like in America, but no, but that's, you color outside the lines here. There are no lanes. There's no rules. There's no, you can back up on the freeway. You can stop on any lane, anytime, anywhere to make a phone call, to light a cigarette. You can drive up an exit ramp if you realize you've gone the wrong way. You can back up to the gas station you passed if you realize you meant to pull over there. One funny thing is we were driving down a road and an SUV in front of us stopped and did a 3-point turn. And this is after days of just like pretty, you know, just terrified that this would be my last car ride ever. Worst driving ever. And the SUV in front of us stops and pulls a 3-point turn. And my driver gasps and says, "Don't ever do that. That is so illegal."
No 3-point turns in Tbilisi, huh?
Okay, thanks for the tip. No seatbelts, no child safety seats. It's wild.
Some of the comments your cabbie made about, or your driver made about America, I thought was kind of eye-opening.
Yes. So we've talked a lot in the last month. He was very surprised to learn that there's homelessness in America. There's beggars here, of course, and he was surprised to learn that it's, you know, there are in America. I was telling him about the earthquake in Phoenix, and he couldn't believe it, could not believe something like that would happen in America.
We don't have natural disasters in America?
We don't. And then he could not believe, I mean, almost wrecked the car when he found out that we have oil in the United States. He said, "Why do you come all the way to Azerbaijan for your oil if you have oil in the United States?" And during all of these conversations, all I can hear in my head is, "There are no cats in America."
Well, you're there with your husband, Captain Wayne Dahl, and he has some interesting observation as far as the construction. Well, we came and visited y'all in Germany. It literally changed the way I do some of my construction details when I'm building and remodeling homes here in Arizona. I was so impressed with the level of engineering in Germany. It really did blow me away. What am I going to see when I come visit y'all in Tbilisi?
Let me get Wayne, but after you visit here, it will also change the way you do construction.
So Rachel actually stole my joke. I was going to use that joke, but I guess that's, you know, we've been married for 15 years now, so thinking alike, definitely. But it's you will be amazed by the ingenuity with what Georgian can do with the little bit of construction equipment that they have. So we moved into a house just outside of Tbilisi. It seems to be a very solid house. And then we noticed over the next few days after we moved in, they started to build a house right next door. And so we've been able to see some of the craftsmanship that may have gone into the house that we're currently living in. We're not sure. We can't confirm that. So basically, the block is put in next door, but we can't see any rebar or any reinforcing material at all. And so basically just blocks stacked on top of blocks. And then at the end, they basically use a concrete to just, they slap it on the side and they kind of hold the blocks together that way as a paste on all the blocks. And then a window hole was cut in, and then a good use of materials, basically you take the construction debris, and that's what you use to shim in the window in between the bricks. And then again, just the hard workingness of the folks here. At 9 p.m. last night, there were four gentlemen using sledgehammers to hammer away on the balcony next door. We're not sure what they were doing, but they were really getting after it and working very hard late into the night, just sledgehammering this balcony until about midnight last night.
Have y'all figured out how to set the temperature in your house yet? I know that was an issue for a couple of days. You couldn't turn the heat off.
Yes, sir. I'll actually let Rachel tell that story. She's the one that figured out, cracked the code on that one with some help of some gentlemen at the embassy that were able to show us.
I don't know. It's still hot. It's still really hot in here. So I don't know. The whole downstairs is warmed by floor radiators, and I keep turning them down and down and down, and it's hot. And upstairs is cold. And the water and the wall radiators are all hooked together. So if you turn it too cool, if the heat's too high, you turn it down, then you also get cold water out of all of your showers. So you got to turn it back up so your water's not too cold. So we're figuring it out.
And Wayne, you finally got my grandsons their first dog.
We did. So, and named Bullet in the honor of your Bullet. Mm-hmm. So, tradition continues. And we've actually hired a dog trainer because this is a street dog that a friend had taken in that we're also helping to train. And she's a puppy, only about 6 months old, so a lot to learn. And the boys just love her to death, even though she's got a lot of energy. And we're all learning together because, as you know, even before Rachel and I had kids, we never had any pets whatsoever. 10 years of silence in our house before we had children. So it's new for everybody.
I was going for square foot gardening beds and free range chickens, and the boys totally voted me down for this stray dog, whatever.
Well, tell us about the Georgians in general. I mean, it's the country is like in a crossroads between continents. That's just got to be like one of the most history-filled corners of the world.
It is, and that's one of the most interesting parts about living here is the history is just so ancient. Ancient kingdoms, and then the Persians came through, and the Ottomans, and the Russian Empire. And again, you're at the crossroads between Iran, Turkey, Russia, and then influence from Azerbaijan across the Caspian Sea. And then with all of these empires and large nations surrounding Georgia, it's still surprising that Georgian is, in and of itself, its own type of language. It's called an Indo-Caucasian language, and none of the neighboring countries have the same type of language. Armenian looks similar, but still is a little different. So even though there's the influence of these great empires, it still has its own language that's been kept true and throughout its history.
And Wayne, you keep assuring me that you've got a safe place for my daughter and my two grandsons, right?
Yes, sir. It's on the second floor of our house. It's a safe room, so we're good. So, no, seriously, though, the people in Georgia are friendly, and they love children, which was, again, a very big change from some of the experiences we had in Germany as well. So, again, they just are so friendly with the kids and very easygoing. And I have to put in two plugs for Georgian wine for all the listeners. So two types of Georgian wine you should go out and try to find maybe at Cost Plus, or if there's a local Russian or Eurasian market near your house, is Saparave is a type of red wine, and Mukazani is another type of wine. And those are both excellent Georgian wines. But one of the our favorite things about Georgia is you go to anybody's house for dinner and they have their own homemade wine.
Okay.
And they also have their own homemade spirits, or it's called cha-cha, but basically it is like moonshine made over from the leftover grapes that they make the wine with. So again, you go to anyone's house and they're very proud of their wine, and everyone makes their own wine here. And the grapevines grow over every wall, everywhere. The land is very fertile here.
Well, we've got this Thanksgiving weekend we're celebrating, and I wanted to take this segment and just reach out to y'all and touch your heart and have you touch the heart of our listeners. When you can go to the grocery store here in America and literally pick from 50 different varieties of fresh vegetables and fruits that are all there, safe and displayed under well-lit and watered and sprinkled and temperature controlled environments, just remember my daughter in Tbilisi who couldn't find celery. Rachel, Wayne, love y'all to death. Thanks for joining us.
Happy Thanksgiving.
One more note of a reason to be grateful. Living
Absolutely.
In this great country with all of its blemishes and all of its problems and all of its politics, it's still by far the best place on the planet.
It is that.
I was the way it's set up in the studio, we weren't able to be, only one computer can talk on the Skype. I had a lot of questions for Wayne. I'm going to have to get him back on. One, can he spell the name of that wine so I can look it up?
Yes.
Either one of those.
Saparavi. Saparavi.
Saparavi.
Avi.
And Mukasani. Mukasani.
All right. I will find, if there's a place in Arizona that sells it, I will find that. It's on, I can see where you can order it online. It's like $30 a bottle. That's
not terrible for coming across the world.
You know, while we're talking about wine, we ought to talk about all the local wineries there are. And I mean, there are a bunch. There's like 16 down the Wilcox area. There's about 14 down in the Sonora area. And how many up are in Camp Verde and in Cottonwood and Page?
Seems like another one every day.
And yeah. Lovely drives, all of them. All worth a staycation kind of a trip just to go down there and see them.
You can go to arizonawine.org, arizonawine.org. Great resource there for finding your local Arizona wine.